Greetings in Christ, I'm Pastor Ben Maton. The New Testament reading for today is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 24. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. That is such a beautiful chapter of Scripture. So much wonderful good news in those words from the Apostle John. But I'd like to just concentrate on maybe some of the most familiar, especially verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. I cannot help but read those words, or when reading those words, think of All Saints' Day, the day when those words are a sign for the epistle reading for that day. All Saints' Day, a day when it's easy to think on and honor those who've made it. The souls of Christians now in heaven, we might sing, "I am but a stranger here. Heaven is my home." And give thanks that they shine in glory while we feebly struggle below. And that's all true enough. But if we only think about the difference between the strugglers and the shiners, we miss something vital. It starts to sound like we believe our destiny is to float around in some cloud-draped paradise. Heaven, where the saints now rest with Jesus, is indeed wonderful. But it's only part of the story. As Paul said, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ." Yet that's not the end of the Christian hope. Heaven is good, but it's not good enough for the children of God. When we confess our faith, we don't say, after all, "I look forward to dying and going to heaven." No, we say, we confess boldly, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. For both us and the saints already in heaven, you see, there's still more to come. A resurrection of bodies in a new heaven and new earth beyond imagination. John reminds us, what we will be has not yet appeared. And guess what? The saints in heaven don't fully know that appearance yet either. A couple of my grandfathers, or my two grandfathers, Orville and Frank, sainted though they are still waiting. They're at peace with Christ, but they're waiting for that final day when Jesus appears. As one writer put it, heaven is great, but it's not the end of the world. Even those saints at rest with Jesus long for that day when heaven gives way to resurrection glory. So whether it's on All Saints Day or any day we hear these beautiful words and think of those who are with our Lord, we don't dwell only on how different they are from us. Think of how similar. We sing in a wonderful hymn in our churches, we feebly struggle, but they in glory shine. But the next line of that hymn is, yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. We and they are waiting together, you see. In Revelation 6, the souls of the saints cry out, how long, O Lord? The heavenly version of, are we there yet? In response, God gives them white robes and tells them to rest a little longer. They're safe, but they're still waiting with us. That's our comfort. We do not wait alone. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, sinners made saints by grace, some are on the church's calendars, Mary, Peter, John. Others are on your personal calendar. The friend who forgave you, the spouse who loved you, the grandparent who showed you Jesus' love. For me, July 6th, for example, is St. Myrtle's Day. It's my grandmother's name. Myrtle's in heaven. She's waiting with me. She prays for me, I'm sure as she did when she was still on this earth, and with me, come, Lord Jesus, come soon. As those saints wait, they sing with us. I don't know exactly how a soul sings, to tell you the truth, without a resurrection voice box yet, but Scripture suggests that's how they pass the time. They sing, you see, for the same reason we do. Because poor sinners like us have been called children of God. Because despite our many sins and the way our hearts may condemn us, God's forgiveness is greater and God's heart is greater. And so our weary voices join theirs as one choir of the waiting. Just to kind of wrap up, that's why I love the hymn. It's number 670 in our church's hymnal, Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones. It's a great reminder that our song is joined with heaven's. We call on angels and archangels, on Mary who bore the eternal word, on patriarchs and prophets, apostles and martyrs, and finally on all the saints triumphant, including the familiar voices we long to hear again. And then we turn to one another, friends in gladness, and raise a chorus of alleluias to heaven's King. Waiting, you see, waiting for what we will be, as John says, what we will be when Jesus finally appears, waiting and singing. That's what we do, saints on earth, saints in heaven. Up there, the waiting's calmer and the singing is sweeter. But together, we await the day when our Lord says, it's time. When our Lord Jesus appears and we finally see what we shall be when we appear like him with resurrected bodies. Then with Mary and Peter and Abraham and Myrtle and all the saints on all of our calendars, we will drop our glorified jaws and open our resurrected eyes to see what we've been waiting for. And friends, it will be worth it. The waiting will be over, but the singing will have just begun. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we implore you, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.